Blog Talk Radio
presents a Flawed Radio Show. Everybody, welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and tonight I wasn't going to do this tonight, but I decided to. As we all know, I mean, it's plastered everywhere, and today is the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and as soon as September 1st hits, I get anxiety, and the closer it gets to September 11th, the more crazy I feel. I shouldn't say crazy, but depressed, sad. And what I do is I try to avoid anything on TV, the news, the internet, anything. I started doing that about 10 years ago. For 10 years after it happened, I would be glued to the TV and I would sit and cry and just cry and cry and forget about when they read the names. My God. And, you know, working in New York, we took time out for a very long time to actually watched the ceremony, and that faded after a while. Pardon me. Then it became a moment of silence at each time the plane hit and when the towers fell. And we had to work during that and right next to it. So anyway, my office was across the street, right across the street from the World Trade Center. And that day didn't end that day for me. I had to go back to work, and I had to watch it every day. I had to watch bodies or parts of bodies being brought out from the pile. And as they did so, pardon me, they would put whatever they found on a stretcher, drape it with American flags. I can only assume it was all firefighters because a lot of civilians were found, and the people that they did find wasn't much of them. Sorry, I'm going to be graphic. It was graphic for me, so I'm going to share with you what I had to deal with. And what brought this up, why I did this show, was because I was seeing a lot of postings on Facebook saying, don't forget, never forget, never forget, never forget. We don't forget the people who were there, who had to go there after, who worked there every day before. It was a life for us, and we can't forget. And so I did ask kindly if you do post your condolences, your remembrances, or your blessings, to not post a picture of the building being on fire. I mean, not only did people get physically hurt, they were mentally hurt. I mean, this is very psychological. This is something you'd see in a movie, man. I mean, This is not something somebody should witness, okay? And have to go back to being normal the next day. And please, if you're going to do a tribute or anything, don't post that. The people who were there don't need to see that. Of course, your condolences are very appreciated, and the phone calls and texts I got today, thank you very much for everybody. My closest people know that I have a hard time around this time. So like I said, I stopped watching about 10 years ago. And what I do now is I try to forget it as much as I can, but I know what is today. I know because I know it every day. After it happened, I had nightmares for months. Looking at them, they became a weapon to me. I was deathly afraid of them. I was scared to death that every plane was crashing into something. And I was also afraid to fly for a while. But I was more scared of, seeing planes in the air and thinking that could happen again. And you know what? It could happen again, sadly. But if you guys want to call in and share your stories, whether you were there, whether you just want to say how it affected you watching it on TV, please do so. Call into 646-478-0999. Tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened to me that day, what happened to me, and what I'm still dealing with. And we all are. I want to share with you Shelley Sunstein from 104.3 Q104.3 in New York. She did a great, great thing, which kind of prompted me to do this. And I'll tell you about that. And I'm also going to play the song. I wrote this song for everybody that day that was there, survivors, their families. And it was called Ordinary Day. And we're going to play that because to me, it was an ordinary day, and all hell broke loose, but the song is my experience, really, and everybody else's, for that matter, that worked there and was there, and I only listen to it once a year. Last night when I posted it, I actually just posted what I said and attached the song. I didn't listen to it. I couldn't, I'm not going to lie, Anyway, before we do that, can we do, if you're listening, a moment of silence for everyone that lost their lives that day, for everyone that continues to fight with illnesses, mental challenges, psychological challenges, and the families that had to carry on without their loved ones. So I'd like to take a moment of silence if you don't mind. Thank you. Thank you. You can hear my stomach and growling. Sorry, it's a really good mic. Anyway. One thing I couldn't help doing today, the sick side of me and the music side of me, was every time I would say to myself, it was 20 years ago today, I kept thinking, it was 20 years ago today. Sasha Bevin told the band to play. I said, what the fuck is wrong with me? Oh, my God. But anyway, that's my happy music. So that's what came to my head every time I thought it was 20 years ago today. So anyway, it was 20 years ago today. I woke up like I normally would on a Tuesday morning. I was an assistant vice president at a brokerage firm across the street, 120 Broadway to be exact. And my God, I went through that trade center for 20-something years. I don't even know how many. And working in different places, but at the time, and each one, but at the time I was at 120 Broadway. Pardon me. And for those that don't know, I don't know how you can't unless you live in the boonies somewhere. The Trade Center was a transportation hub. So you had subways going there throughout New York, dropping people off, going to work. You had the PATH train coming in from New Jersey, bringing in tons of people to work in New York. And it was an amazing place. It really was. And when you were there, you didn't think it was. It was just a building. So I got up early. It was Tuesday. I'll never forget it. It was a Tuesday morning, up at my normal time. Tuesday, I had to get up early because that was the day we had to fund our clients and get money out to them before 9 a.m. So I would normally, on Tuesday, take an early train. And my two-year-old that morning says to me, "Please stay. Please stay." And he never did that to me before I went to work. I mean, he would cry when I left, you know, the separation anxiety thing, whatever. But he never said, "Please stay." And I said, "You know what? I better stay." I said, "Janet's got this. That's my boss. She would come in even earlier than me." I felt bad that I left it on her, but, you know, Joanne wasn't always on time. Anyway, but that's another story. So I knew Janet had it under control, of course. So I stayed, and I missed that train. So had I taken that train, I don't think I'd be here, to be quite honest. I would be in the building. So anyway, and normally I would fall asleep on the train because I would be up at the studio after the kids went to bed. I'd go to the studio and work on some music, and I'd be there till like 3 in the morning. So I'd get up and go to work the next day, and I'd pass out on the train and wear my Walkman. Yeah, for those of you who know me, I and was using it up until I was taking the train about 6 years ago. So I love it. All right. I mean, I just love it. I love everything else. So anyway, it's a lot of used it, but I do still have it and my CD. Well, I mean, I basically was using it because I was learning music to record. So I had to listen to stuff over and over again. So it was perfect for that. And normally the conductor would have to wake me up. We'd pull into Hoboken, I'd be the last one on the train, and they'd come and wake me up. I'd say, "Oh, God, thank you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. I'm late. Whatever, you know." So this day, for some reason, I woke up, and I don't know why. And I looked out the window, and when you pull into Hoboken, New Jersey, terminal, you can see the skyline of New York. There's the Trade Center. There's the Financial Center. Everything. Everything's down there. And, looked up, and I saw rolling smoke coming out. Nobody was looking out the window. And I just said, "Oh, my God, those poor people." And my heart dropped, and I was like, "Oh." I didn't know if anybody down below had a problem, but I knew where the problem was in going up. They were done. Okay, forget it. There was no way they had a chance, badly. I said, "Oh, my God, those poor people." And somebody heard me, and I guess threw my body to the window, I guess, and they came, everybody started looking then, and we were all gasping, "Oh, my God." So back then, you know, we weren't in the stage of amazing technology at the time, but I had this huge, almost like a beeper, but it was a BlackBerry, and you flipped it, and you could type on it. So I typed, "I think I may be late. There's a fire at the Trade Center." And I think I said, "It doesn't look good. I don't know." I said, "Those poor people." And I never heard back. And I didn't think anything of it. you know, I just said, oh, Janet's busy. She's doing what she's got to do for me that I was supposed to do. And I was like, oh, shit, you know, oh, I feel horrible about that. And we get into Hoboken. Hoboken's a madhouse, madhouse. Everybody's running around. They don't know what's going on. And because not many people actually saw the first one hit. So we really, nobody knew what was going on. And we thought it was an accident. It was a plane, you know, but so I headed towards the train to catch the train to go into the Trade Center, and we were turned away. They said they had shut the trains down, and very happy for that. God forbid anybody got stuck in there, and everybody went to the ferry. I mean, we had to go to work, even though this problem was going on. Nobody knew what was going on. We had to go to work, and we just like, I have to go to work. Oh my God, I'm going to be in trouble. And, you know, so I am so sorry. So it was very, very long line. Normally there was long lines, but this was really long. A lot of people didn't know what to do, where to go, what to do, should they go, what to do. I said, I got to go. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm sure most of us thought that way. And I remember it being election day as well. And it was a gorgeous day, gorgeous day, gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous day. I'll never forget that. Today was a little close. It wasn't exact. It was close. Too chilly to be exact. The weather was perfect. It was just an ordinary day. So, we get on the ferry, nobody's speaking, we're just looking up, and I can only think we were praying, I know I was, praying for whoever was stuck in there, and we get into New York, it's just hell, it's everybody, I mean, oh, just looking up, and just looking up at what they saw. I mean, would you ever imagine seeing that? No, and so we're looking up. I tried to act like I was cool, like, oh, okay. But I was still looking up, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, and I got to get to work, got to get to work. I mean, it's just, so, you know, there was stuff falling, and we were trying to get in between, out of the way, and, you know, I talk about folks, I'm so sorry. Do my best. I'm trying to make it quick too, because I just don't want to go on and on about it. It's like I said, I live with it every day, and it's hard. And as we were, those of us who are still trying to get to work, looking up, not being able to take our eyes off the what we see another plane coming in. We see, well, I shouldn't say another, because we never saw the first. We all did. I saw this plane coming in. I watched it come in. Here it comes. It dropped twice and just was making its aim. And it looked to me like flick it away because it was so tiny. So it looked like I stupidly was waving my hand, like trying to swat it away and screaming at the same time, please, no. And we were all screaming. And then it hit. And the explosion was massive. Oh, my God. And you felt it. You felt it. We were 100-something stories down, but you felt it. And things were falling everywhere. We were scared. Nobody's going to pretend they weren't. We were scared to death. I know I was. So at that point, everybody knew what had happened. Oh, my God, we're under attack. Jesus Christ, what's next? Oh, my God, right? So we're feeling like sitting ducks, to be quite honest. You know, what's going to happen to us next? Here we go. Come on, bring it on. What is it, you know? At that point, it was just like, what the fuck? Just do it. Get it over with, you know? So we just look up, screaming, crying, and scared. And we're still walking. And all you see this whole time, too, is all the emergency vehicles coming racing towards it, and firemen and police officers going in. Unbelievable. I don't know what they thought they were going to do. Yeah, I mean, they would probably be exhausted by the time they climbed that high. But they did it. They did it. And we had... Oh, at that point, too, I took the beeper and I typed, get out of the building, to my boss. I said, get out of the building, get out of the building. Another plane just hit, which they knew, kind of sitting right across the street. And I didn't hear back. If you remember, there was no phone service. The tower on top of the Trade Center, there was a, what do you want to call it? Like an antenna? It was huge. It was huge, and that held a lot of phone service, so everybody lost TV for a while. I don't know. I wasn't home, so, but phone service was gone. So, as we watched in horror, as people chose to jump out a window instead of burning to death, you know, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know. I just hope it was quick and painless. But my heart broke for every single one of them. And it was bad. And didn't take long before... I'm not going to describe the horrors I've seen, the blood, the gore. I'm not going to go into that, out of respect for those that had to do that and deal with that. Again, it didn't take long before we heard the rumble and watched it come down and look like a precision, you know, precise implosion of knocking down an old building. And thank God it came down that way. Had it come down to the front, the back, the side, either side, my God, do you know how many more people we would have lost that day? Taking out more buildings, more people. Because as in shock as we were watching, we tried to help whoever we could, you know? If we saw somebody, we helped them. And I know from the 93 bombing, I was there for that too. I actually went right to the building to help people. So I'm just so grateful that I didn't get as close as I did for this as I did for the bombing in 93. I would have never had a chance at all. So the building collapses. We run as fast as you can, run. Scared to death, run. And I kept trying to pull on doors to get in. Everybody locked the doors. Oh, once the second plane hit, they knew that something was up, so they locked the doors. Not everybody. A few that I grabbed, they were locked. My own building wouldn't let me in. It was locked. And it was mainly the financial institutions that were locked. That's my building. So... anyway, I continued to run down Pine Street, and I couldn't run anymore, so I just went in the middle of two buildings and covered my face, put my face against the wall, and waited for it to pass, and it was quiet. Couldn't hear a sound. I think we thought we were dead, and... finally, we start to hear voices. Help. They needed help. And covered. Everybody covered. And whatever. Knew what it was. And we waited for the second one. And it happened again. So. And I got home late afternoon, late. I don't remember what time it was. I got home. I had wound up jumping on the ferry, thank God. I made it on a ferry and landed in Hoboken again. And the train home ride was quiet. When the second plane hit, they just made people got on trains that they didn't even want to get on. They just got on and left. Who knows where they wound up? They just got on trains to get the hell out of there. I got on the right train. I've gotten off the wrong train. I'm getting on the wrong train before. But I did get on the right train, and it was silence. Shock. We were all in shock. And I remember coming home, and I grew up 2-year-old. I just cried. I cried. And then I called the doctor. I said, I just came home from the trade center. I need help. And I don't know what he prescribed me, but I don't remember that whole week. I was out. I was gone. I don't remember anything. I had nightmares, like I said, that I was trapped in rubble. My body in a fetal position, like I was protecting my body and just covered in debris, and went off for a while. And then one day I came out in the backyard with my dog, and it wasn't supposed to be planes flying. They had stopped the air traffic for, I don't know how long they stopped it for exactly, but I know no planes were allowed to be flying during that time. And I looked and I saw, you know, sometimes when you see a plane going one direction and another direction and they're thousands of miles apart. Anyway, to me, it looked like they were going to come. I started screaming. Oh my God, I started screaming. Oh, my neighbors came out, everybody came out. They said, you okay? I said, they're going to crash. They're going to crash. And I had to calm down. And it took a while to get myself to accept, to smile, be happy or whatever. I had survivors. I don't know why I'm here and others aren't. And I'll never know the answer to that. Most of us who are still here know that. I've actually been in contact with my former boss lately. I'm so glad we contacted and touched base with each other. We haven't spoken in 20 years. And so today, and when I finally said to myself, wake up, wake up. You have a family, you have a kid, you know, wake up. I finally said, I have to live my life. And I have been ever since then. I try to do anything and everything I can to fulfill my life because I may not have had that opportunity. Anyway, after a while, I had to go to work. So, again, after a while, it was a couple weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks, I had to go back to work. And like I said, the window, we could see whenever they found something. I don't even know what they found. They would drape the stretcher with the American flag, and they'd line up side by side as they carried the stretcher down through the middle, and they would salute. So I could only assume it was a fireman or police officer. And I remember one day looking out the window, after they loaded up an ambulance. And the ambulance, when they did find something or someone, the ambulance was escorted down Broadway, and everybody stopped. Everybody stopped. We stopped. The streets, people stopped and just bowed their heads. I remember looking at that ambulance go down, and this feeling came over me of the person inside saying, "They found me. I can go home now. They found me." And I said, "I'm sorry. I went home. I'm so sorry. Oh my God. Oh. Yeah, it's 20 years, man. And the odor down there that we had to see and be around and watch every day. The smell I'll never forget. And I never want to smell it again. It lasted months. And I'm sitting here, guess what I'm holding? I'm holding a surgical mask because that's what I wore to save my life. Wear a fucking mask, people. What the fuck is wrong with you? Oh, my God. Anyway. We had to wear masks. Even though we wore masks, God, we didn't complain about it one bit. Nobody said a fucking word about it. We wore a mask because we knew we had wanted to live. We knew what we were smelling. It was human remains. It was everything toxic in that building. It was everything. We knew what we were smelling. It was burning flesh. I couldn't even eat the food from the restaurant. You tasted it. It was horrible. I was a smoker, too. I couldn't even go out and smoke. It was so bad. It was so... And I wore a mask. And we all came together as one. Whether you lived in North Dakota, South Carolina, Texas, whatever, you fucking were American that day. What is wrong with you people? 9/11 should have been... This pandemic should have been a 9/11. You should be ashamed of yourselves, all of you, all of you. And how dare you say, never forget. You did forget. Kiss my ass. I am so sorry. You can hate me. I don't care. How dare you? How dare you? Get vaccinated and wear a mask so the shit can go away. Pull together like an American. I don't know what the fuck your problem is. Pardon me, I don't mean to curse, but I have never been so angry in my life. This show is not political. Not at all. We are entertainment, even though I cannot stand what's going on. It may slip once in a while, but I never say names. Never. And I never say party. Ever. Ever. You know who I'm talking about. You know who you are. What is wrong with you? I know you. This is not you. Stop. Stop it. Stop it all. We need to move on, people. Get rid of this pandemic. And the only way we're going to do it is to wear a mask and get a vaccination and get it over with. And if you cannot get vaccinated because of your health, I fully understand that. But guess what? We know that you will protect yourself. I have underlying health conditions. Why? Because of 9/11. Yes, I wore a mask, but it saved my life. It saved my life. I may be sick right now and dealing with issues, medical issues, but I'm alive thanks to that freaking mask. God, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Americans, my ass. Fucking patriots, that's what you are. You know, I kind of get it. I kind of get it in a way, okay? Because if a president said we needed to stand up and fight for something that was wrong, I'd be the first one to do it. The first one to love this country more than anybody will ever know. And nothing happened. Nothing. So I understand why you listened, because you thought something happened. Nothing happened. It is a lie. All of it. All of it. Anyway, in their memory, in everyone's memory for what went on that day, for the people who lost their lives, God, in their memory, America, do the right thing. Wear a mask and get vaccinated. And if you don't want to, stay home and stay away from people. You want to be selfish, be selfish. Get this country back. I'm ashamed for you. Anyway, I apologize. I hate talking about politics. I never did in my life until now. I never needed to. We never had a problem like this. Anyway, the only reason this person wants to be where they want to be is to avoid jail and rob us. September 11th, today's September 11th. Yeah, it sure is. Guess where the presidents are? Joe Biden went to every place, the Pentagon, New York, and Pennsylvania. George Bush went somewhere. I didn't watch. I don't know. I don't. All I know is what I read. I didn't follow through. George Bush went somewhere and spoke. I don't know if it was at the Trade Center. I don't know. And also, I believe Bill Clinton. I honestly don't know. I didn't watch, so I don't know. What was your president doing? The one that you said loves your country? He's hosting a fucking boxing match, getting paid millions of dollars. Why? Because he doesn't care. He does not care. You know what he said when the Trade Center came down? Oh, now I have the biggest building in New York. Small penis, buddy? Fucking asshole. Anyway, I don't care if you agree with me or not. I am right. This is not my opinion. I am right. Do the right thing in the memory and honor of everybody that day and the people who are still fighting for their lives, either physically or mentally from that day. Do the right thing. Save this country. What is wrong with you? I am sorry. I'm going to go. I got to go. I need to collect my thoughts, folks. Please, if you want to call in to tell me your, I'd like to know how you're doing, actually, and tell me how you did that day and if you're okay today. I am okay. I mean, like I said, I'm dealing with some medical issues, but I've accepted that. And speaking of which, for me to catch my breath and take a moment is I wanted to help so bad after that. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to give blood when no blood was needed. I donated money. I went down to see the firemen on my lunch, and I tried to do what I could. And so what I did the only thing I know. I know music, so I wrote this song. It's called Ordinary Day, and I'd like to play it for you. I only listen to it once a year, and I saved it for tonight. I hope you like it. I know family members have heard it, and they do like it very much, and I've been thanked for it. I don't want anything for it, nothing. The proceeds were donated to Safe Horizons. It was one of the number one charities at the time. So anyway, this is Ordinary Day.
It was just an ordinary day.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Anyway, we have a caller. I'd love to talk to them. Let's see who we have online.
Hey, Joanne. It's Stephen
Joseph.
Hi, welcome how you
to
doing?
Applause Radio Show. You're on with Applause. Hi, who's this?
It's Stephen Joseph. How you doing?
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm hoping, giving you a long-distance hug, honey, because I feel bad for you.
Thank you, honey. It's okay. I'm good.
Yeah, that was a day, you know what I mean, for all of us.
What was your day? Tell me about your day.
Okay. So real quick, I was living in Wilmington at the time, Wilmington, Delaware.
Yeah.
So I was literally in the middle of it all. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was home because I worked second shift for a credit card company.
Mm.
Actually, I don't know if I'm going to say names or whatever, but New York-based company.
Yeah.
And, you know, I literally watched the whole thing live.
Yeah.
You know, from, you know, I was up in the morning, watched it basically start to finish.
Yeah.
You know, during all of this, you know, you're just like you said, like when I first saw it on Good Morning America, I was like, how does a plane hit the World Trade Center? Like, you know, and I thought it was a little plane from Teterboro. You know what I mean? Like something just happened to the pilot.
Right.
And then when I saw the jet hit it live, the second one, I thought that was the first one hitting the, you know what I mean, the building. Like I
had
no
idea.
It
did look like it went through both. It did. It did.
Well, and you were like, wait a minute, is this a replay? And then I'm like, wait, this wasn't a plane.
Yeah.
This was a jet. And that's when it was like.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were talking about a second plane. And then, like you said, you realize something's wrong. What's wrong?
Yeah.
What's good? Like
we all
you don't
did.
Get it.
Yeah.
And
we all
you know,
did.
Granted, I was not there like you were, which I couldn't.
Oh no,
imagine
but you were still affected. Please, that's why I wanted everybody to call in, and everybody was affected that day. You
well,
know,
yeah, you're
absolutely.
Watching it, you know, and then
in
the
disbelief.
Pentagon. So, and exactly, you know, I'm trying to call my parents in Maryland, can't get through, circuits are busy. Trying to call my aunt and uncle in D.C., circuits are busy. I didn't even dare to try my cousin in Manhattan because I figured I didn't know where she was or her parents because I'm sure they were just, you know, losing the total mind.
Right.
So during all of this, and I can't remember exactly when, my cousin calls me to tell me that my aunt died that morning in Delaware.
Oh,
I know.
God.
Well, she had been sick, so it was okay. Oh, thank you. It was okay. But we were like, I was like, come on. You know, like how in the middle of all this does that happen?
Right, what the
Which
hell?
Which, of course, right, makes the whole 9/11 for me...
Even more so.
...a different day, because, like, that Friday, the 14th, you know, we buried her. When they were doing all the stuff, remember that Friday? Afterwards, there was a lot of memorials and funerals starting.
I honestly don't remember.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand, but not as... we didn't bury her as a victim. But we're burying my aunt like so many other people were. So it was probably the most somber funeral I ever was at in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was sad. She was in her 80s. Okay. But the fact that it was that day and the same thing. And then it gets worse because working for, you know, Chase Manhattan in the credit card division, we're now dealing with accounts of people who were victims.
Right.
You're working an account and you pull it up for whatever reason, boom, no charges after the 9th or 10th.
Mm.
Or a charge that morning from like the coffee shop in the World Trade Center. So yeah, you kind of, it's hard to describe how you feel about it, but kind of like you said, you don't watch a lot of it on TV.
Oh, I stopped. I had to.
Well, even
I had
today,
to stop.
I was out doing more errands than anything because I didn't want to sit home and watch it all day because I remember. I think of my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
I think of these people whose accounts that I don't know their names, obviously, now. It's been 20 years. But it's like when they're announcing names, was that yours? Did I?
Right.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing. But and even then, going to Manhattan in 2003, we went up there for a dinner banquet. We went to the World Trade Center.
Hmm.
Which was just, you know.
Yeah.
The powerfulness of just looking at those two holes going,
mm-hmm.
and you're standing there going, it just, Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
it really...
I one thing that bothered me a lot, and I understand it, and it bothered me at the time really bad, the tourists that were coming to see it. And
oh, it was packed in those three.
Yeah, and taking the pictures, and I didn't mind that, but when I saw them having fun, it bothered me a lot. It bothered, you know, they were on vacation, you know, so...
Well, yeah, we were.
It doesn't bother me now, but it bothered me then, you know. And we would be outside, like I said, I smoked, and I would be outside trying to smoke a cigarette in the air. You couldn't.
Right.
This is right after, you know, when we had the return.
Oh, right after.
Two, 3 weeks later, and people were coming up to us. Tell me of what happened. Tell me about your experience. And we were like, no, we can't. You know, we can't.
Back in 2000 when my house burned down and the press shows up and they're all asking you about, well, what are your feelings?
Right.
Well, what do you think? I'm standing outside my house in my pajamas. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, it's funny you say that because they're like, oh, well, how did you feel? And we would just look like, are you kidding me? How do we
you
feel?
You want to slug them.
and then laughing and having a good time. It just wasn't a jovial thing. So it bothered me terribly when I saw that at the time, but that's New York. It's a tourist attraction. So, you know, but I made sure to go out and do a few things today myself. And I had to stop watching 10 years ago because it's just too hard. I mean, especially I would read the names and there'd be people there. I didn't know them personally, but they were people that I would see on the trains every day on the commute. And and then we wouldn't see them anymore. And for like a month or two after it happened, bicycles of people who lost their lives were still parked in the bicycle racks, cars that sat in the parking lot. We knew who they were, and
they were there. And then, like, you know, I forget now what town it was up, you know, in North Jersey, but it had so many, like almost every person was either affected or knew someone.
Yeah, I forgot the town,
as we know,
too.
Yeah, somewhere in North Jersey, it's like, because as we know, a lot of people up in North Jersey, they all work in Manhattan, you know?
We all do, yeah. That's where the money
well,
is,
like
baby.
You said, you take the train to the path, and and Hoboken, I've been to Hoboken before, so when you're describing being in Hoboken watching it, I'm like, I mean, Jersey, Hudson County has the best view of Manhattan in the world, you know?
Right, right. Well,
laugh
it's
about
funny,
Jersey, but
I wasn't going to do this, and I do have to apologize to those that I said on Facebook, I put a post, I asked if they would kindly not put the towers being on fire or anything
pictures.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's wonderful that you're sending your prayers and that, but the people who were there don't need to see that. The people who lost their parents don't need to see that or whatever.
I wouldn't
want to
see.
So.
I had family on, I think, was the second plane 175?
Mm.
Or was that 11? I forget which one was the second plane.
I don't know
but
which one was which.
If my family was on 175 and it was the second plane, you're seeing it, right? Like you said, you just sort of pull your hand out and go, come back. But you can't, you know, it's like, I agree, those pictures.
And I meant
no
disrespect. I just asked if they would kindly not do that because people who weren't affected physically, they are affected psychologically. I mean, I've got PTSD now, and, you know, I've got other issues, and I any day I could get something. So, I mean,
I know. I agree. To see the same ones over and over as the moments of when things are happening, I just posted a regular just the other towers, because the towers were beautiful.
Yeah.
But the other stuff, it just, I agree. I don't understand why people post constantly the graphic pictures.
I don't think they mean. Yeah, I don't think they mean any disrespect. I don't. I don't. I just.
I just. So either,
no, not at all. Not at all. But I did want to emphasize that I am still breathing to this day because I had to wear a surgical mask for a long time down there.
Everybody did. I remember you would see it on the news.
And the fact that we are going through what we're going through now and people won't wear a mask. And at that time, America came together. And that's what we need to do now. That's what we need
to
do now.
In 2003 was amazing, the people in New York City, that local-wise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was like, wow. I mean, somebody's actually letting you step on the subway before you, them.
Right. And I don't mean to get political, but had we a different president, this would have been handled like a 9/11.
We would have
come together. And what kills me most is to the world follows us. So our behavior is how they are reacting as well. We're destroying not only our country, but we're destroying the world by our reaction to this.
I just next thing is over. I just hope we get this whole pandemic under control. You know what I mean?
Well, I get it. We can.
I know.
We can.
The best thing we can do is do our part. You know what I mean?
Yep. And that's all we got to do. Do what you got. Do the right thing. That's it, man. That's all I'm saying. But I do apologize to everybody for my language. I'm sorry. I just couldn't take it anymore. I cannot. I wasn't going to do this. I really wasn't. And what I thought about was Shelley Sonstein. You probably heard of her. You sound like you know the East Coast pretty well. She's a radio host here at Q104.3, and she has a podcast. And what she did was she went and reached out to survivors, and they told their experiences of that day. And it helped me. I don't know them personally, but I know them well. They're me, you know, and it was good to hear their stories instead of their story of survival instead of tragedy, you know. So I said, and then
the
when
survival
I started seeing
stories are so many more. It's just
amazing
the number of people that are there that day. And everybody forgets that, you know, when you survive a tragedy, it affects you forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can attest to that.
But, well, honey, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Welcome.
It was great talking
to you.
Thank you
for sharing. Likewise, thanks for sharing your story because I had no idea you were there for all of it. So.
Yeah, well, that's why I do the radio show. I lost my voice from the toxins, my singing voice. So I did that song.
And the song was beautiful. Thank you for that.
I wrote that a month after, and after it was done, I only listened to it once a year, and I never listened to it again. That's it, once a year.
I can't blame you, but it was a beautiful song. You did really good on that one.
Oh,
thank you, honey.
It was my experience. It was the first time I've ever heard it. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed
it. It's true.
Well, thank you so much. We've got 3 minutes left, and I have to make a couple announcements. So I thank you so much, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you later. Have a great night.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you, everybody. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to go off the handle, but I'm just so frustrated with what's going on, and it's got to stop, man. Please. I'm nobody, but... I'm nobody to tell people what to do, but do it for yourself, man. Do it for your family, your kids, your grandchildren, the country. My God. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Anyway, we coming up. Uh-oh, I got to run. Tomorrow night, the 12th at 9:30 p.m., pop singer Shema. We're going to have a good time. God bless you all. You know who you are. And may you all rest in peace and never forget. We can't. And I wish a lot of people could never forget and remember what they did during that time. and do it again. We can do it again. Come together. Right now. Come on, baby. Come together, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.
It was just in awe.